Nest of Vipers. "I can feel it in my liver," whispered Isern. "The little bitch is up to something."
Corleth strode through the crowd ahead, down the rain-slick cobbled streets that led from Scarling's Hall into the chilly city, a canvas bag over one shoulder.
"I see it," said Isern, "and the moon sees it, and the only one can't see it is you."
"Not the only one," said Ricca. "Aside from the moon and your liver, everyone likes her well enough."
"So you're saying there's a lot of fools about, a thing I well knew already. Did she tell you she was going?"
"She did not," said Ricca. "But why should she?
Did she ask leave to go?"
"She did not, but why should she?
What's she got in the bag?"
"Folks sometimes have bags. That's no proof of anything."
"Didn't I tell you not to get cocky?"
"Only 1,000 times.
If you'd listened to one of them, I could hold my tongue now."
Isern bared her teeth, showing that missing one, eyes still fixed on Corleth.
"I'm telling you, she smells wrong."
"You're a fine one to complain of odours."
"Sneaking out of Scarling's Hall?"
"You'd no objection to us sneaking into it."
"When we were sneaking around our enemies?"
"We did somewhat leave the Brocks with their arses in the breeze, and we'd been welcoming them with a smile not long before."
"You had, but you smile far too easily."
Isern slipped around a corner, pulling Ricca through a knot of people and behind a cart, where they could watch Corleth walk on.
"Bloody Brocks! They'd have stabbed you in the back if you hadn't stabbed them first."
"I see it, and the moon sees it, and the only one can't see it.
No, that one I saw pretty clearly too."
Ricca hooked a finger into the chain of emeralds Savine gave her and pulled them around a little. They weren't tight, they weren't heavy, but they seemed to chafe at her these days since she started sitting in Scarling's chair.
"Guess we'll never know for sure now, will we?"
Isern shook her shaggy head in disgust.
"We're not here to prod at the soft underbelly of your guilt, which is a thing a leader needs to toss into the shit pit along with her mercy, but to find out what your friend Corleth is doing creeping through Carleon all flighty and furtive."
"She don't look all that furtive."
"Wasn't like she was padding on tiptoe or sliding around corners or checking behind her, the way Ricca would surely have done if she was about some shifty business. She's just walking through town."
"Aye, but where's she walking?"
Isern pressed herself to a wall and peered around its corner, and Ricca found herself doing the same. Corleth was ahead still, trotting up the steps towards a little house, like 100 others in the city, rain drip-dripping from the eaves of its mossy thatch.
"She comes to this house every other day, d'ye see, regular as the moon."
Ricca frowned. That did sound a little troubling.
"Maybe she's found a man to keep her warm in the winter."
She blew into her cupped hands, thinking of the nail and what they'd got up to that morning, and had to grin.
"They can be worth the effort."
"A lover would be nothing to hide."
Ricca shrugged.
"A really ugly lover?"
"Shh!"
Isern swept Ricca into a doorway with the back of her arm. What with the clammy cold, it reminded her of their times out in the woods, hiding from Stour Nightfall's men, and that brought back a stab of the fear she'd felt then, followed by a warm wash of satisfaction that she currently had the bastard hobbled in a cage. The door opened. Corleth grinned, which seemed strange, as she wasn't much of a grinner. She went in, and the door shut.
"Right," growled Isern, striding towards the house. "Now we'll plumb the bottom of her schemes."
"Who's cocky now?" hissed Ricca, hurrying after. "What if she is hiding something?"
She pictured a room crammed with Black Calder's cutthroats, all turning as Isern kicked the door open.
"We should get Shivers and a few of his lads."
But Isern was already thumping at the rickety door hard enough to rattle it in the frame. It whipped open,
and Corlith frowned out, somewhat suspicious to see the two of them crowded onto the doorstep.
"What are you two doing here?"
"What are you doing here?"
roared Isern, triumphant, and she caught Corlith around the neck and shoved her into the house, pulling a dagger with the other hand.
"By the dead," squeaked Ricker, scrambling after, "don't knife her."
It was a pretty ordinary sort of house, far as she could tell, once she was into the gloomy inside. One room, lit by one little window, a fine cook smell wafting from a pot on the fire. The canvas sack lay open beside it, but instead of secrets, it held carrots and a couple of bones. There was no gang of cutthroats, just a bent old woman with weak eyes and a generous wart on her cheek, highly surprised by the blade-wielding hill woman just burst into her house.
"What the fuck?"
croaked Corlith, flattened against the wall with Isern's hand clamping off her windpipe. The old woman snatched up a broom.
"Let go of my granddaughter!"
Ricker sighed, feeling more than a little guilty over her part in this farce.
"Reckon you can stow the dagger, Isern, unless you plan to chop carrots with it."
"My grandma lives here,"
muttered Corlith, rubbing at her pink neck as Isern let her go.
"I come see her when I can, make sure she's got wood for her fire, bring her scraps for soup."
"Why didn't you tell me?" asked Ricker. "Got enough weighing on your shoulders?"
By the dead, Ricker felt worse than ever.
"Do you think you could put the blade up now?"
With a level of sourness few indeed could match, Isern secreted the knife in the ragged depths of her clothing.
"You understand we've got to be watchful," said Ricker. "Black Calder's a crafty one, could have spies anywhere."
"You thought my Corlith was spying?"
The old woman lowered her broom, lip all a wobble, poor thing.
"All she talks about is how clever you are, how proud she is to be serving you, how you'll change the North. Folk come to me for advice, and I'm always telling them what a good thing."
"All right, Granny," said Corlith, waving her down. "We have to be watchful, it's true. Just a misunderstanding is all."
"Aye,"
said Ricker, giving Isern a hard side-eye.
"It's easy to stuff the blame in the wrong places."
"And it's true, Black Calder's crafty."
The old woman took a step towards Ricker, lowering her voice.
"Between you and me, there's this old bitch lives two doors down I've never trusted. You should keep an eye on her."
"Might be we'll do that."
"Now,"
Corlith's granny stared sternly around,
"who's for soup?"
The cold rain was flitting down harder when they made it back into the street, and Ricker pulled her hood up again and twitched it tight against the cold.
"Thank the dead we smoked out that nest of vipers," she said.
Isern was not amused.
"You can't let your guard down. Now, with your arse in Scarlin's chair less than ever, you have to be hard. Have to make of your heart a yes, yes. I'll have Corlith cut with the bloody cross for taking those kitchen scraps soon as I get back."
Ricker shook her head. "I like the girl. She has sturdy hips."
"Where do her hips come into it? Planning to sire children upon her?"
"No, I mean she's solid, steady, not likely to suddenly catch fire."
Ricker raised a brow at Isern.
"Unlike some I could mention."
"My narrow hips did not offend when I saved your life out in the wasteland."
They did a little." "I'm telling you, there's something off about that girl."
Isern spat over her shoulder towards the house.
"And her granny too."
"Oh aye, the granny especially. Never saw such a terrifying presence."
Ricker puffed out her cheeks as she strolled back up the steep way towards Scarling's Hall.
"Must be the bloody nine in disguise."